On Friday, November 1st, a new movie called Inside Game opens nationally. And Inside Game has to do with the whole Tim Donaghy NBA referee scandal that rocked the whole league. And here joining us now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, the man the movie's about, Tim Donaghy, joins Bickley and Murata. Tim, how are you today?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Can you believe that, it's been a decade now since you were released from federal prison. Here you are 10 years later. They're making a movie about this whole thing. Do you ever think it would get to this?
There was a lot of opportunity for it to get to that, but they always fell through the cracks. And Paulie Martino, to his credit, was able to put everything together and did a fabulous job in getting everybody together, writing it, producing it, and actually he played a part in it. So, he's one of those guys that everything he touches turns to gold. So he never ceases to amaze me with everything that he's done.
I don't assume that the NBA is very happy that this movie is hitting theaters, Tim.
Well, I'm sure they're not. I think anytime my name comes up, they kind of cringe a little bit. And like myself, they hope that the story at some point goes away. But it seems like it always resurfaces and people can't get enough of it because you have so many different aspects that we all love with gambling, the NBA, the mob. It just seems to have all those things that makes a good thriller movie.
All right, Tim, why don't you reset, if you don't mind. For those, I think most basketball fans are familiar with your name, but part of the movie is how the FBI stumbled upon your guys' scheme to make money off of illegal betting on NBA games. Remind everybody, how did that happen? How did they stumble into finding you and catching you guys?
Well, the bottom line is it was heard over a Gambino wiretap. And with that being said, they didn't have my name, but they knew that there was an NBA referee involved. I guess through the associates that they were tracking, they just backtracked with cell phone records, and somehow they were able to piece together that it was me. They started bringing people in, throwing people in front of grand juries, and from there, the word got to me that the whole ordeal, the scheme was exposed, and it was just a matter of time before everything seemed to crumble for me.
During that whole time when you guys are perpetrating what you're doing, I'm guessing there's a feeling of invincibility on your part. Did you think you'd ever get caught?
Obviously not. You know, there were times where we stopped doing what we were doing out of fear, but what happened was is the Gambino crime family people were getting these picks, making and generating millions and millions of dollars. That's why the NBA, the FBI got involved. And with that being said, they came to me when we did stop because they wanted to continue to get those picks and basically told me that they were going to expose the whole thing or worse yet, have somebody visit my wife and kids in Florida. So I continued to give them those picks, hoping that it would all go away at the end of the season. And we all know that it didn't. And it was exposed and, I was indicted and charged and did 15 months in federal prison.
What do you think the net impact you had on the NBA was? Because my partner brought up a point before you came on, Tim, and that was a lot of people heard your story and it confirmed for them what they believed about NBA officiating and might have driven a good number of fans from the game. What do you think the impact of this whole story was on the NBA?
I think that they were exposed. The FBI exposed them. I exposed them. They were refereeing names on the front and back of jerseys and not enforcing the rules as they were written in a rule book. And that's basically what Mark Cuban's whole gripe was. And the bottom line is it wasn't an even playing field for everybody. Teams were put at advantages and disadvantages. And the rules need to be enforced, and hopefully they're doing a better job of doing that as the rules are written in the rule book.
Tim Donaghy, a former NBA official. His movie, Inside Game, coming out November 1st nationwide. He joins us here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Here we are, Tim. We're doing a sports talk radio show in Phoenix, and at the time, it was a big controversy. Obviously, the Suns were in a much different place as a franchise. They were a perennial playoff team. So the people here want to know, how much did you affect the Phoenix Suns' fortunes during that time?
You know, obviously, everybody knows I refereed one of those famous games with the San Antonio Spurs, mm-hmm. where they were definitely the better team in that series, and San Antonio went on to win that series. I talk about it often, how the guy Tommy Nunez, who was the group supervisor at that time for that series, didn't like Starver, who was the owner of the Suns at that time, and was always pointing out in the tape sessions of things to call against Phoenix and things not to concentrate on against San Antonio. And I think it put San Antonio at an advantage. And I think that's one of the reasons why they were able to win that series. And I write about that at length in my book, Personal Foul.
All right. Let me ask you this, Tim, just for a refresher. And I've spoken with you on the radio about this in the past, and I've admired your candor. I can certainly say that. How easy is it for an NBA official to affect and influence NBA games? And can you retell the manners and the things you would do to get to your achieved result?
There's relationships that existed in the NBA, and they still do, both positive and negative, between referees and coaches, referees and owners, and referees and players, and that stuff spills out onto the floor. And when you're with a crew, you're going to go out there and you're going to do things together. And I'll give you an example. Steve Javy, I don't know if you remember this story, had a major problem with Allen Iverson. We all felt that Allen Iverson should have been suspended. He was only fined because he threatened Steve Javy bodily harm. With that being said, myself, Bernie Fryer, and Gary Zielinski were the next three referees to referee one of Iverson's games. And we decided that we were going to go out there and we were going to call palming violations on him. We knew he did it all the time. We knew that we always let it go, but we were going to go out and stick it to him because of what happened and in support of Steve Javy. And we went out in that game, I think it was the first half, three palming violations were called against him. He came up to me and he said, "Tim, how long is this going to last?" And I looked at him and I said, "I don't know what you're talking about." And he gave me this smirky, cocky smile. And he said, "You know what I'm talking about." And I did know, and he knew that I knew. And we just kind of laughed, and I just, walked away from him. So a lot of that stuff happens. The rules are just so subjective that they can be enforced at different times by different officials.
Now, Tim, you've described a couple of instances, and that Allen Iverson one is a great example of personal negative feelings the officials or people in the league may have to certain NBA personnel, whether it's players, owners, or whatever. On the flip side of that, do you believe your officiating was ever influenced by good relationships with friendly players or friendly executives? Or maybe around the league, did you hear stories of that?
Oh, absolutely. I'll give you another good example. My first year in the league, I'm refereeing the San Antonio Spurs, and David Robinson gets fouled right across the arm on a jump shot. But I'm caught looking at his back, and I didn't want to guess, and I missed the call. It was a timeout, and he turned around to me, and he said, "What was that? I just got fouled. You just missed it." I said, "David, I got caught in a stack. I apologize. I missed it. It won't happen again." He patted me on the back, and he said, "It happens. Don't worry about it." And to me, that was just a guy that was a professional, and, I never wanted to miss another play that should go for him. In fact, I probably gave him more than what I should have because he was such a good guy. When guys like that respected the referees and talked them in that manner, you always want to help them out.
All right, Tim, my last question. I know that David Stern in the NBA wanted to paint you out as a rogue official, a lone wolf. You've shared the story before about referees who might have seen Robert Sarver and how demonstrative he was against officials from his courtside seat and maybe exacting a bit of revenge. In your opinion, how widespread do you think this issue is of NBA officials, for whatever reasons, influencing the outcome of basketball games?
I think it's definitely widespread. And, Michael Francisi, who was a captain in the Colombo crime family, who is now a preacher and turns his life around, has said many times that in the 1990s, three NBA referees on his personal call, and none of them winning Tim Donaghy. So with that being said, the relationships that were negative, I'm sure these three referees passed along him, and they made millions of dollars betting on those games. So there's positive and negative relationships, as I said before, and it all plays out in the movie. That you'll be able to see different things that take place within the NBA organizations and different things that took place within the gambling world that will paint a good picture for you of really what goes down.
Tim Donaghy, our guest. Before we let you go, I wanted to ask you this question. I'm fascinated when a story like this does go through the process, and you talked about your book, and then it gets turned into a movie. When you relive this time in your life and it unfolds on the big screen, do you find it more painful, shameful? Do you find it cathartic? I mean, how do you take it all in?
That's funny. I'm getting that question a lot, and sitting through the movie last week, it was embarrassing when I did it with the mistakes I made, and it's still just as embarrassing now to sit there and watch it on the big screen. But there's a message in the movie that I think is important for everybody, and that's with how important choices are in life. And we all know that when we make those poor choices, that they not only affect ourselves, but the people that we love the most, and that's our family. And that happened with everybody that was involved in this situation. And that message shows up in the film tremendously. That's one of the great points that really hits home. And hopefully people will learn from it like I did.
Well, Tim, thank you for the time. Looking forward to seeing the movie. It's Inside Game. It's released nationally November 1st. Thanks for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Tim Donaghy.